I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is another special Olympic edition of the Ultimate Sports Podcast. I'm joined by our Olympics editor, Johnny Hart. And Johnny, it's been a decent start to the Games for Team GB, hasn't it?
Pretty decent. Expectations, though, extremely high going into the Games because it is our home Games. And this has been one of the problems, I think. From day one, it was we were going to win in the road race with Mark Cavendish. That didn't come off. And then there were a sort of succession of disasters or near disasters, near gold medals over the next two or three days. And people were thinking, my goodness, is this going to go all terribly wrong? Even the French were beating us. In fact, the French, and we'll come to that a little bit later, they've done rather well. That's probably because they thought they were going to have the 2012 Olympic Games. I think we've now got to a point where actually we're ahead of where we were in 2008 in Beijing. So it's looking good. We've got plenty of gold medals in the usual sports. The cycling, of course, we've seen Sir Chris Hoy with a fifth gold medal, tying with Sir Steve Redgrave, which is an amazing achievement. And Bradley, or soon to be Sir Bradley Wiggins, winning in the time trial. I know he's a particular favourite of yours and is undoubtedly going to be, whatever happens, even if Jess Ennis wins the heptathlon, even if Mo Farah gets double gold in the 5,000 and 10,000. I still think that Bradley Wiggins will be Sports Personality of the Year. Not that it really matters, but you know what I mean. He's going to be the blue ribbon sportsman of 2012, whatever happens. We're doing pretty well, and we've got this target, haven't we, of 47 medals in Beijing. We want to beat that target, and I think we probably will do that.
Just to focus on Wiggins just for a second, How extraordinary an achievement is that in your mind that he won the Tour de France, the first British man to do that, and then just a matter of days later, he's winning an Olympic time trial.
It does defy description, although he was asked that question. He says, how do you do it just a week later? He said, well, you know, I'm in form. I've had a few days rest. It's just like doing another Tour de France stage or two. That's what he was saying. And I mean, he has got an amazing engine. I mean, I don't know whether the scientists are going to have a look at his heart and his body and his lungs over the next few years.
See if they can clone him somehow.
Well, if only we could, and then we'll win everything like the Chinese. But more of them a bit later on. Did I say that? No, I really think Bradley Wiggins is probably going to be the face of the Olympic Games. Although, of course, we're early on in the competition, aren't we, really? And there are plenty more stories to come, both for Britain and for global athletes. We haven't mentioned the star so far. Who is the star so far? Is it Michael Phelps?
I think he's one of them. I think,
yeah.
Well, I was just going to move on to his achievement. Of course, he's now on 20 medals, 20 Olympic medals.
Most countries haven't scored that many medals in the entire history of their Olympics.
It's absurd. he racked up his first gold of the Games. He beat Ryan Lochte in the 200-meter
duel in the pool
individual medley. Yeah, and it was a great performance by Phelps. He started off badly. He didn't even medal in the 400 IM, but he's recovered. And now, surely, in the great debate about who is the greatest Olympian of all time, he's got to be up there, hasn't he?
It's been like a wave, hasn't it? Going up and down and up and down over the last few days with Mr. Phelps, because there are a lot of people saying he was going to be the star again. Then, of course, he had those problems in his earlier races, and people were saying, well, no, the king is dead. Long live the new king, Ryan Lochte, because he beat him, didn't he, in the medley?
The first one,
and then, of course, Lochte has faded since, and Phelps has gone up. Difficult to assess Phelps in sort of the history of sports pantheonism, because you kind of think to yourself, swimming is slightly different to everything else, isn't it? Because there are so many events that a swimmer can actually win in an Olympic Games. You don't get that in any other sport, do you, really? I mean, possibly you could say something like the cycling is the only equivalent, really, but even then, there aren't that many opportunities. What was amazing, though, to see over the last few days was guys like Phelps, like Lochte, doing a semi-final or even a final and then coming out 15, 20 minutes later and in another race and winning gold, not making much of a difference. We saw that with Missy Franklin, I know, with her size 13 feet.
I think the thing with Phelps as well, somebody made a very good point recently, that with somebody like Phelps who swims so many different events, he's often coming up against specialists.
Mm.
So that's even more impressive that he can swim so many different disciplines against specialists.
And those specialists are fresher as well. But maybe that's it. Maybe the pressure is off him to a certain extent compared with, say, some of the British swimmers. And, you know, we've not mentioned the British swimmers, really. It's been rather disappointing, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. A couple of bright spots, obviously. Becky Adlington kicked things off with a bronze in the 400 free. That was actually a really good performance from her. At the time we're recording this, we don't know if she's defended her 800 metre title. I suspect she will. I suspect she will do that because she is the class in the field in that event. And Michael Jameson came up with a
fantastic
silver
swim
in the 200 metre breaststroke. And the guy that beat him, Daniel Guerta, a double world champion, a double European champion. So Jameson was up against the very best in that event and very nearly beat him. But elsewhere,
And he actually was beaten by a new world record.
Yeah. So, you know, that shows the strides he's made.
To me, that's the best performance of British swimming so far in these Olympic Games, Jameson.
Yeah, I think so, because I think it was against what was expected of him before the tournament. I think he's produced a lot more than we expected.
I read a stat saying that I think that was the only personal best that a British swimmer has swum so far in this particular Olympic Games. That is disappointing.
Yeah, it is.
What's the reason?
Well, it's tough because certainly the women came into the meet with high expectations. There was a feeling that there was a group of good young female swimmers who'd come through the system together, who'd gained experience as they went along. But you look at Fran Halsall, she's entered a lot of different events, ranked in the top five in the world in most of them, but she's been blown away by the quality of the fields in finals. She hasn't been able to make an impact. Ellen Gandy, for me, the biggest disappointment I really felt going into the 200 fly, that she was a real gold medal prospect. She didn't even get past the heats.
Yeah.
Her problem is pacing in races, and she got the heat totally wrong. 100 metres was way too quick, and she said herself after the race she felt like she'd been hit by a truck. And her legs just went and she couldn't quite manage to qualify. She reached the final of the 100 fly, but was never really going to compete in that. Gemma Spofforth got to a final, but couldn't make an impact. Generally, it's been pretty disappointing. Although, ironically, one of the stories of the games in the pool has been from somebody who trained in Plymouth, which is the 15-year-old Lithuanian, Ruta Melotita, who in the 100 metres.
Can we have her, please?
Yeah, I think we'll claim her. I mean, going into the 100 metre breaststroke, everybody thought Rebecca Sonny was going to win it. Yeah. You know, American who has an unbelievable record. And Melotita just absolutely blew her away. It was extraordinary. And it shows the quality of Sonny since that in the 200 metre breaststroke, not only did she win, she did it in the world record.
Hmm. What about the next week or so? We've got some really interesting stuff coming up. It's going to be, of course, the athletics underway
now.
We've
been paying a lot of attention to that, haven't you? Because you've been out to major championships and, you know, you're very excited about that.
I am, although slightly daunted by the fact that we might have one of these sort of lots of hype things going on at early doors and then we struggle to win any medals at all. I mean, I can go back through the Olympic Games of past times. Way back to 1976, we only got a bronze medal. I don't think it's going to be quite as bad as that. We have some very good prospects. Who knows what's going to go on with Philip Todowu, who this time a year or two ago was the favourite to win triple jump gold, and he's gone AWOL most of the time. Charles Van Kommenay, the coach of UK Athletics, has basically said, I don't know where he is, I don't know what he's doing, we need some information about this guy. Even Dowu's coach, Astin Moore, doesn't have much communication with him in the last couple of weeks or so.
Well, he went to the training camp in Portugal and didn't take Dowu with him.
No.
And they asked Van Kommenay, where's Dowu?
I suppose he's being paid, isn't he? So he has to go. Mo Farah could be, I suppose, the British face of the Games. If he was to win both 10,000 and 5,000, and very few runners have ever done that, 5,000 and 10,000. I can remember Lassie Viren doing it in the 1970s. That would be an incredible achievement. Then we've got the outside shots. Perry Shakes-Drayton, 400-metre hurdle. That would be a great story because she's a local girl, a stone's throw away from the Olympic Stadium is where she is from. Christina Harugu, another local girl, and the only defending champion that we have in the athletics. She is coming into form now. She's had problems with injuries, belief over the last couple of years, and suddenly, you know, she's actually peaking at the right moment. And then we've got some more outsiders. Robbie Grabarts in the high jump. Where was he last year?
Yeah, he's come from nowhere.
And there always is, isn't there? Somewhere along the line, somebody comes, a joker in the pack. Suddenly you find somebody who you hadn't heard of or thought of a couple of years ago that does actually win a medal. Not necessarily gold, but certainly a medal. And then we've got the golden girl, really, hopefully, Jessica Ennis. And by the time this goes out, perhaps she will be the heptathlon champion.
I was just going to ask you about Oharuga because I find her really interesting. And Idowu is very similar, actually, in a way. Real competition performers, people who maybe in the Diamond League or throughout the season, you don't really see them that much or they don't seem to produce that much. Come a major tournament, they spark into life.
Yeah, and let's not forget that Christine was world and Olympic champion. Few athletes from Britain have ever had that privilege. I can think of people like Limpa Christie and Sally Gunnell, Jonathan Edwards, of course. She is very, very responsive to, and she'll get a lot of that in the athletic stadium, to the pressure, the expectation, the crowd. They will really take to Christine. And I don't think she's going to get a gold, but I think a bronze or a silver is definitely on the cards.
And of course, we've mentioned the British aspect of the athletics, but one of the most mouth-watering showdowns, not only in the 100 metres, but the 200 as well. The Jamaican clash between Johan Blake and Usain Bolt. Of course, Bolt was very much the face of Beijing with what he did in both events, but Johan Blake has beaten him a couple of times recently, hasn't
he? I think we're looking at quite possibly the best ever 100 metres final in history, because you mentioned Blake and Bolt. That's a big Jamaican showdown, but there are plenty of other ones there as well, aren't there? You've got the old faces like Asafa Powell, Justin Gatlin, plenty of others, actually.
And Tyson Gay,
you could have a 100 metres final with all of them running under 10 seconds, which would be unprecedented. Bolt or Blake?
It's close, isn't it?
I think it's going to be Blake. I think Bolt hit his peak. He could still get back up to where he was before. But, you know, life on the road, the fame, the adulation, all the commerciality that he's had to endure and enjoy over the last 4 years must have affected him, whereas Johan Blake has just gone on with it.
And how much would you want to be the fourth member of that 4x100 relay team for Jamaica? Well, you've got Powell, Bolt and Blake on the team. Well, that'd be a good position to be in.
As long as you don't drop the baton.
Yeah, as long as you don't ruin it for everybody else.
We talked about Michael Phelps. I mean, he would have been the face of Beijing had it not been for Usain Bolt. Yeah. The same thing could happen. It would be a great story, wouldn't it, if Bolt did what he did last time, breaking world records for every single event he was in, 100, 200, the 4x1, and doing that again this time. It was so outrageous what he did in Beijing and subsequent world championships and the times that he was doing in 100 and 200 metres, 19.19 for the 200 in the previous world championships. Yeah. And there are some who suggest if he got a great start, if he actually... each phase of the 100 metres that he was in, he could run 9.4. Sorry, 5-10 years ago, nobody would have believed you. I mean, we've got a guy who can do 9.58 now. He has smashed those records, and I don't think we're going to see Usain Bolt for a while, but you never know. Maybe he'll spurn a whole generation, particularly in Jamaica, of some really great athletes with that kind of physique. The 6.5 foot that he has, the huge strides. He can do 41 strides for 100 metres rather than 43. Now, I don't want to get too stato on you, Kevin, but that's a major difference when you can run 100 metres with two less strides than everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose we say this about most sporting titles. Is it harder to defend it than to win it in the first place for him?
I haven't actually been in that position myself.
those titles.
I think, I suppose it might be harder for him because of all that belief he's held since he won at Beijing. And all of a sudden, he's not necessarily the number one man. Of course, he had that disqualification at the World Championships when he full started. He'll be aware of that, will be in the back of his mind. And I think Blake, in a sense, has nothing to lose. If he wins a silver, then people will accept that and think, well, perhaps next time.
Yeah.
But I think he might get that gold medal.
Okay, that's it for this week's edition of the Ultimate Sports Podcast. Enjoy the Olympics, whatever sport you choose to watch, and we'll be back with you next week.